What's up, everybody? It's your boy, Ray, AKA All Day Ray, and I'm here in sunny Pompano Beach, Florida. We're right outside the BDH headquarters. This is the home of the live streamer, Patrick Whelan, where he live streams to his over 400,000 subscribers on YouTube, the number one live futures day trading stream in the world. We're gonna go inside, we're gonna meet with the man, see what he's like behind the scenes, what he's got, what motivates him, what he's got planned for the future. Let's go take a look inside.
No visitors. What's going on?
How's it going, man? Thanks for having us.
Yeah, man, come on in. All Welcome right. to the BDH. Coming
All right,
to my
let's
big,
go.
My big house. Yeah, so basically, I built this place. It was originally a auto repair shop.
Okay.
In like the 1960s, they built this place. I think even earlier. Like, I actually saw a photo of it.
Yeah.
Like back in the day, it was like an oil change spot. You can see like the old doors. So there was like normally like kind of just oil change. This would have been like the office area, and we've kind of turned it into the ultimate boys' room, I guess, playground. This has got
the lovely Ginger.
Yeah. And then this is basically kind of the hangout simulator room. My son's always in here messing around. Messing up stuff, buying stuff on there, but
let's get a preview of this. This is interesting. So, race simulator. I've never had any experience. What NASCAR, F1? Like, what tracks?
I mean, honestly, you can this is so realistic. You can do really anything. You can do trucks. You can do cars. You can do F1. You can do NASCAR. This is the same exact setup that you would basically have if you. We're a professional race team, I guess.
Yeah.
So, NASCAR teams. I mean, they might go a little crazier with, but this thing moves and shakes and gives you the full experience. And actually, sometimes, you'll get a little motion sickness because you're, sitting there moving around, but you're not actually going anywhere. But, they got the screens. I thought about maybe just putting all my trading charts on there at some point and just sitting here trading while driving could be a thing.
Yeah, don't try this at home, folks.
Don't trade and drive.
Yeah, but that's interesting.
Yeah, that's basically the simulator. The goal was originally to kind of build this out as like a podcast room.
Yeah.
To do content and stuff, but it kind of just naturally ends up always the conversations happen in there.
Sure.
Because people come and then we're trading and then we start talking and it's kind of like just naturally starts flowing.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
It's kind of as I've built this out, it's kind of figuring out what works best, what's the best flow and all that fun stuff. So
awesome.
This is kind of where some content gets filmed, I guess. We got the screens and some merch and all that.
Let me ask you this. You got the cars, which we're going to see here shortly, the simulator cars. This is a passion of yours?
I guess maybe more recently, I've gotten more into the whole car thing. When you have a more expendable income, it's easier to spend more money on cars. But the simulator is just something to kind of fill the space.
Because I think I've seen videos you out with your girlfriend, test driving some of these cars. How's those experiences been?
Yeah, no, it's always fun. I mean, it's kind of I guess I always tell people when I was a kid, we dreamed of owning a Lamborghini or driving fast cars. And now the idea that I can actually own one and drive one and buy different cars and have that ability, the affordability, or I guess the money to do it.
Yeah.
It's kind of, now I'm just a big kid.
Yeah.
I bought a GTR, which is the Fast and the Furious, even my son, he's 12 and he's like, oh, GTR. That's so cool. 1999 GTR from Japan.
Wow.
And I got another one from Japan. So I got two cars from Japan that are literally right-hand drive. You got to shift with the left hand. It's pretty cool when you're driving. Because people on the road will look at you and be like, oh, what?
Yeah.
How are you driving on that side of the car? And you're like, nah, it's cool. It's Japan.
Yeah.
It's Japanese.
Japan, yeah.
Japanese.
Shout out to the Japanese. No, that's sweet. Hey, speaking of, let's go check out the car.
Yeah. All right. So it's weird because I have I have my favorites, but then sometimes it changes depending on what mods I did or this is actually pretty stock right now, but I have a bunch of stuff that we're doing, new wheels, some new pieces on the body, carbon fiber and stuff. But this is basically, when it comes to a McLaren, this is a 765, which, there's more expensive McLarens out there that are millions and millions of dollars. But when it comes to $500,000 insanely fast car, this whole entire car is basically built out of carbon fiber. You can see this, this is all, they call it a monocoque. It sounds funny, but it's like, it's not really a, it's not a frame. It's not like a normal car. Like, they basically build this like a race car. So, like, this whole thing is just carbon fiber, and it's insanely light. You got 760 horsepower. Once we tune it, it'll probably be like 800 or so. But, I mean, it goes 0 to 60 in like 2.8 seconds.
Yeah.
So people are like, it's faster than anything you can, like, really kind of fathom, I guess. People are always like, oh, how much horsepower? I'm like, the horsepower don't matter. It's the car itself. It's the design. I mean, it's got all the crazy aero.
Absolutely.
And
yeah,
I think this car, like, it just looks like it's going fast even when it's sitting there.
Right, right.
Like, the body lines and, like, just the flow of it. It's a very, like,
excellent.
I think it's just a very sexy looking car.
It very is.
You know,
the curvature. What about the color? You wanted to go for the baby blue?
This is the original color. It's, they call it Caraco blue, which is kind of like a rarer color, a little bit of carbon fiber. Uh-huh. The thing with these cars is, like, it's all about the spec. Because basically, you know, someone has to, like, spec it out, pick out the colors, and then, you know, later on people look for certain specs that have certain. So this is, like, a more desirable color. I try to, like, buy cars that I know have, like, better specs for, like, resale and just kind of value.
Sure.
Because
you'll
get some cars that just have, like, really weird colors and, like, yellows and just weird. Like, just it doesn't match.
Right.
You know, like a bright green interior. Like, why would you do that? You know, just keep it simple. Absolutely. So that's kind of the vibe with that. And then the tried and true. I mean, I feel like if you're, if you've ever, like, been into stocks or trading or just anything in making money, you've seen this car. I mean, this is the Lamborghini Aventador. It's the...
Let me get a look. Right
here. This is the quintessential money making car. I mean, it got famous too because it was in Batman. There's a couple shots where Bruce Wayne, where he's like pulling up in the Lamborghini, and everyone's like, "Who's that?" And it's like, "That's Batman." You know?
Yeah. The Christian Bale.
Yeah, Christian Bale. Where he's in a silver one of these, but it's the same exact car as this, basically.
He pulls up to the parties with the girls. Yeah.
Exactly. So.
Excellent.
This is just like it's classic, it's true, it's a V12, it's loud, it's, people ask me, like, oh, how's it drive? It doesn't drive good.
Yeah.
You know, it's not.
Like, no, it doesn't drive good, no.
No, like a BMW M5 is going to drive better than this car all day.
Yeah.
But, like, you're not going to get the sounds, you're not going to get the noises, you're not going to get the, like, rawness. V12, it has a different sound.
Yeah.
Just, like, it sounds like a Formula One car, and it's just like, wing, 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 and it just goes crazy. So, are, like, my two, like...
Yep, only prop firm.
Yeah, right.
So this
represent.
Is, and then we got the setup here. So this is what we're seeing when we're watching
exactly.
The live stream.
Exactly. So the people were like, I mean, I'm in the business of getting views, right?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I'm a trader.
So speaking of the cars, Patrick, I wanted to ask, you know, how much of this is, you know, for show, for the stream to get views, and how much of it is like, you know, like this is you, you authentically.
Well, I mean, to be honest, it's part of the brand, it's part of the story, right?
Yeah.
I came from nothing. I felt like I kind of built this business, and you know, there's this stigma that like, oh, if you don't have a Lambo, you're not rich. Especially in South Florida. South Florida, everybody's got a Lambo, so it's kind of annoying. But for me, I look at it as like almost like a bit of an investment. Like, if I pay $300,000 for this car, am I going to lose a lot of money in that $300,000 over the next couple of years? Probably not, you know, to be honest. I might actually gain value if I do it right, keep the car nice.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the thing. I try to buy the cars with a bit of an investment. Like, I bought that car from an auction for
$390. Yeah.
And, like, right now, the bottom in the market's, like, $450. So it's, like, I'm smart about it. I'm not just going out and buying, like, whatever stupid car from dealers. Like, I kind of, you know, work the numbers. We got this from a dealer, direct dealer kind of deal. So everything I buy, I try to buy it like not retail, because if you go to a normal like Ferrari store, you're going to pay, you know, a massive premium to buy something. So I try to like be smart. I try to find cars that I know, like this is a 2013 Aventador. Is the value ever, I don't think the value is going to go down on this car after, like now, you know, at this point it's like 12, 15 years old. It's depreciated. Mm-hmm. People are like, okay, 300,000 is kind of like the spot where some of these cars, I mean, there's the SVJs, they're going for close to $1 million now.
Wow.
And it's funny because Lamborghini came out with a new car, which is like the EV, and they came out selling, they were selling retail for around $1 million, and now they're already down like 600,000.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's a brand new car, 2024.
Yeah, sure.
Where a car that's like a 2013, 2015, certain models are going for $800,000, $900,000.
Yeah.
So you kind of like, I want to be in that spot where I can find a car that I'm like, oh, this is.
Because you don't always think of cars that way. You think yeah. I'm depreciating.
Well, it's funny because there's a whole, like, as much as I do day trading, there's like a whole world where people like sure. trade cars.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, because you can basically buy a car on a good deal and try to find some other idiot to buy it for more, yeah, you know. Yeah. And it's some of these cars they'll sit at a dealer for a year before they sell.
Yeah.
Because you know how many people are walking around with $300,000 to buy a car.
Yeah.
It's hard to get financing on a Lambo as well.
Well, that's what I've always a lot of the people we've talked to. I love how I'm always so intrigued where you could take like the skills you learn from trading. Yeah. I mean, obviously this is kind of like a. It's a market as well, yeah. but you take the same things we learned in trading.
There's literally like charts, like
yeah.
trading charts for cars.
cars. Yeah,
you can go and look at like where the recent Aventador sales are. I mean, there's some cars that like some of the old Lamborghini Murcielagos and stuff, if you'd have bought them 10 years ago,
yeah.
I mean, they're $1 million now.
Yeah.
That okay. you would have bought it for $150,000.
I had a guy talk to, and he said he would chart real estate sales, housing sales, and so it's always fascinating to me. We could take the same concepts that we do trading, and you can apply it broadly.
Pokemon. I mean, there's people who trade. They're looking at charts for Pokemon.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Oh, there's all kinds of crazy stuff.
I mean, speaking of it, does anything else you like dabble in, like investment wise, or just we're doing futures?
Pretty much. I'm overall like net long always. I'm always my 401k, my retirement, all that stuff is always just buying.
Yeah.
You know, I see no reason to sell. And like, I'm not retiring for a really long time, and there's no point in me trying to sit there and like pick the top and the bottom.
Yeah.
So every time we sell off, I'm loading up more.
I love it.
You know, yeah. I'm calling my accountant going, how much can I buy more? Like, how much more can I, put in this account right now with tax savings? And it's also a tax game, like, if I put $100,000 in my 401k or my cash balance account per year, that saves me like $20,000 a year in taxes.
Yeah.
But I get to keep the money. So it's like playing that game. Yeah, the cool thing is I tell people, like, as a day trader, you can apply those same skills from day trading to like long-term investing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Where I'm like, where the market was crashing recently and everyone thought the world was going to end and we had all the tariff news and Trump and all that, everyone's like freaking out. And I'm just like, guys, this is a great time to buy.
Yeah, exactly.
If you liked NVIDIA at 150, why would you not like it at 100?
Yeah.
You know, same thing with Apple. Like, all these companies, like, buy stocks and companies that like, I always say, like, look in your pockets, right? Do you have an Apple? You have an iPhone?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, yeah.
All right, well, everyone's got an iPhone. So it's like, buy a stock in a company that everybody buys their products.
Yeah, yeah.
Because no matter what, like, even if the value goes down, 10 years from now, Apple's going to be $100 trillion because of inflation,
It can be so simple. Like, it does, trading and investing doesn't have to be complicated. And to your point of like being long, I always joke with people. Like, I think like being a perma bear is like a sickness. It's like a mind sickness. Like, they drive me nuts.
I've been like a part of the markets now for about like 10 years. Like, I've been trading actively for like 8 years, but I've been like watching the markets for like 10 years and investing.
Yeah.
And it's funny because every year, there's that one guy. Yeah. Man, this is the end. This is the end. But it's simple because the way, like you said, being simple about it, if you really think about it, inflation is real, right? We know inflation is real. We know that they're not, like, stocks are they're finite unless they obviously offer more. But, like, if there's a 100 million shares of Apple, they're not just printing more shares of Apple every day.
Yeah.
So it's like you got to invest in things that are not getting created, like this car.
Yeah.
That's why I look at it. I'm like, they're not making any more 2013 Aventadors ever again. So it's like, you got to play into that. Everyone knows inflation is real. So if you believe inflation is real, why would you think the market, why would you say, oh, the market's going to go to zero? It's it's not going to. If the market goes to zero, the world's over and we all die.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
So the people that are calling out constantly for the market to crash and, it's going to crash down 5,000 points. I'm like, if that happens, like, it's over. It don't matter. Like, your dollar's worth nothing at that point. So who cares if you made money?
Yeah, yeah. So I think that's a good segue. You see, we're talking about being in the market for 8 years, maybe active, maybe 10 years. So what brought you into the markets? How'd you get into trading?
Wolf of Wall Street, baby.
Wolf of Wall Street.
Nah, not Wolf of Wall Street. Honestly, I dated a girl in Miami when I first... So I grew up in Orlando. I moved down to Miami dating this girl. Mm-hmm. And, living in Orlando, to be honest, like... I don't know. You don't really see wealth.
Sure.
Like Miami. You go to Miami and you're like, holy shit. Like,
it's a different world down
there. Yeah, people... Like, you look at houses, you're like... Like, what? That's a $30 million house?
Yeah, yeah.
You see, like, everywhere. You see Lambos. You see cars. You see people. A lot of it's not real. A lot of it's, on credit.
Sure.
But you just get exposed to all this money for the first time. So moving down here, it was just like an eye opener. Like, wow. And it was like, how does everybody make money? You talk to anybody who's like successfully rich. There was something where they invested either in something, they bought into an IPO, they did something.
Yeah.
That like really got them to that point. Very rarely do you meet someone who's like, yeah, I mow yards every day by myself, and now I'm a billionaire.
Yeah.
Like you can make great money with a lawn, landscaping company, but like,
to
be able to grow that, it's, to a point where you're $100 million, right. I don't think that's possible. So that was the biggest thing. Coming down to South Florida, my girlfriend's dad, he's like 50 years old, he's retired. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, how do you make money? How do you pay for this $5 million house? He's like, oh, I have my investments. I just, everything's in the stock market.
Yeah.
And growing up where I grew up, no one talked about the stock market. It was like this voodoo thing. And I still think it is. They say that I think it's like 85% of Americans do not actually own stock.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. Really small. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you think about it, like the majority of like the richest people in America own most of the stocks.
Yeah.
And like, why is that? Is there a reason that the smartest people and the rich people in America own a bunch of stock? Like,
yeah.
And why all the poor people and dumb people don't own stocks? Like, I wonder why. Who should I be listening to?
Right, right.
The old saying, if you give everybody in America $1 million tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. I love this.
Everybody in a week is, whoever was rich a week ago, they're going to be rich again. And the people who didn't
have
money, they're going to be
gone. It's going to be the same outcomes. It's going to be the same exact outcomes.
So yeah. I think that's like, trading for me and investing has just really kind of changed my whole outlook
for
on
sure.
money.
For sure. And I like what people like you do, us talking to different people. It's like, I guess the stock market investing gets this stigma of sophistication around it. Or you can't do it. You need to give me your money to do it for you.
Yeah, that's my...
And if schmucks like us could do it,
Well, I didn't go to college. I have no formal training. I've done, I've watched videos online and just done it from experience. But the whole you need someone to manage your retirement. I'm like, why?
Yeah,
because now you have ETFs that with the ETFs, they're managed.
Yeah.
Right? So you're paying a financial advisor to then put your money into ETFs.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the year, he's going, hey, we got 5%. Good job. And you're like, what'd you do? I just bought QQQ.
Yeah.
Why the fuck did I just do that? Why am I paying you to do that?
Dude, it's so ridiculous.
Yeah, I laugh about it. I'm like, why does anybody pay anybody to, you just put money in SPY or QQQ, and then you forget about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, the SPY, it's just always going to go up. No matter what, it's always just going to, long term, they will remove stocks that are doing bad,
right.
put stocks that are doing good. So, you don't need to even think about it. It's buy SPY, it goes up.
I know. It's so funny. It's so ridiculous just thinking about it. I was telling our cameraman, shout out to Barry, and the same exact concept on the way here. But with that said, let's take a look at the setup
over here.
Yeah. We got a nice setup. Awesome. All right, well, sweet setup here.
Yeah. This is the command center.
Let me ask you something. Just because me personally, I get a little overwhelmed. I have two screens. I like to keep it real simple. This is manageable for you, all the screens right here.
Yeah, it looks a lot crazier than it is, but it's really not. It's a lot of the same charts, just different time frames.
Gotcha.
Right? So, this is my hourly chart. This is my 15-minute chart. This is the, this is the ES 15-minute chart. This is, a one-minute chart. So, all it really is it's just putting the different time frames out in front of me.
Sure.
So, that way, I'm not just only hyper-focused on one time frame. And people joke
which
about
I, which I like. So sorry, sorry to interrupt you, but you like Confluence on time
frames.
Well,
I don't want to be, if I'm looking to get short, I don't want to see the bigger time frame that we're super bullish.
Right.
Right. So I'm looking for that. I'm always starting out looking at the bigger time frame. I mean, even every day I wake up, I'm looking at the kind of bigger picture.
Yeah.
Where are we at in the weekly? Where are we at in the monthly? Where are we at? Are we just going sideways? Because a lot of times the market's just going to go sideways.
Yeah.
It might seem that it's going up and down, but when you zoom out, look at the daily chart, the weekly chart, it's just...
We're going up and down in a range.
Yeah, we're going in that range, right? Yeah. So for me, it's I want to be aware of that. So am I going to try to short the bottom of the range knowing that we're in a range for the last month?
Right.
I'd be a little silly.
Right.
So a lot of people, they just they wake up and all they do is they look at the smallest time frame and they start trading. And I'm like, what are you... this morning we had a huge sell-off. Everyone's thinking about shorting. And I'm like, guys, we got support, bigger time frames, there's support, We're up right now, $3,400 in this account. This is my live... Tradeify account, and then got the other prop firm accounts, but I mean it's just kind of let's lock in profit and kind of walk out thing.
Our hold time, what your style of trading, what are we looking at?
time frame?
Yeah, well, day trading. Yeah. Like, you know, we've got people who are like 5 minutes. So I'm like, you know, me, myself, I kind of like, I like holding for like, I'm still a day trader, but I'll hold for like a little bit longer of a move, maybe an hour, 2 hours.
Honestly,
it all depends.
So you can see today, like, so my average trade time was a minute.
Okay, longest so you're trade scouting, time, you're quick.
Cool. Well, it's not that I'm scalping. It's a sense, I'm looking for like breakout setups.
Okay.
Right? And then I'm getting like 20, 30 points. Because I know from my experience that normally, if the NASDAQ's going to break out, right, yeah. if it's going to go up or down, like through a range or level, that, you know, normally there's like 20, 30 points.
Sure.
Is there more? Can I make more? Yes, but every time I move the goalpost, now my risk is changing, right?
Sure.
Where, like, before, it's like, if I can get those 20 points every single time, like, why not just do that?
Yeah,
people
yeah.
get mad. Like, oh, you could have held longer. I'm like, yeah, this time I could have.
Yeah.
But other times when I take profit early, it works out, and then it goes back down, like, right. in my favor. So I just look for those setups where I'm like, it's gonna break out.
Yeah.
And normally that's gonna happen within, you know, a minute to 5 minutes. I mean, I'll hold trades for hours. It depends on the setup, you know, sometimes. But I try to just like get in there, get out, and just kind of lock it down.
Well, I like that. You stick to your formula, because that's what, you know, people go, oh, you could have held longer. Yeah, but it could work, it could not. Like,
I could also have lost money.
Yeah.
You know, that's my, yeah. it's, you know, trading is, it's very easy to go coulda, shoulda, woulda with trading.
You can't play that game, yeah.
No, because you'll sit there all day long and do that.
Right.
And, like, you just got to believe in yourself, and you got to, like, kind of believe in the theory of it.
That's what I always love. It's like a saying. It's like, you're never happy, like, in trading, right? Like, even if you win,
never.
You're not happy.
But that's business, too, right?
Sure.
Like, if me and you, like, we're in business, and I'm buying something from you, you're selling something to me, there's a price that you have and I have that we're going to be happy with.
Right.
And you're going to sell it. Like, let's say you sell me this car. Like, all right, Patrick, I'll do $300,000. You can sell it for $300,000. You're going to think to yourself, like, fuck. Maybe I could have got $305,000.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Like, no matter what, you're always going to be like, I could have probably got more from that guy.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to walk away and be like, damn, I probably could have paid $280.
Yeah.
He seemed like he would have sold $280.
Yeah.
You know, so that's literally trading. That is little. Sure. That's trading. That's every business. That's what I love about trading. I feel like there's such a huge resemblance to trading in life and business and just like everything. It changes. Like when you go to buy a house as a trader, I'm looking at the market now. I'm like, we're at all time highs. For the value of real estate.
Yeah.
So I'm like, do I want to buy?
Right.
Like, I know there's a pullback coming. I'm looking at the prices. You know, I'm telling my girlfriend, she's like, let's just buy a house. I'm like, babe, I can't buy a house, right? I'm a trader. Yeah. You know, like, if I buy a house at all-time high and then it goes down, I'm going to be mad.
It's not computing.
No, so that's what's
exactly.
So cool about trading is it really does, like, kind of get you into a different mindset.
Picking back and off some of the trading topics, you know, we were talking about, like, you know, or I was mentioning being, like, clear with, like, your strategies and, like, not deviating too much. Like, when you first started trading, like, did you have any, like, struggles as far as, like, you know, maybe the mental aspect or, you know, maybe technical, anything of that nature?
You know, it's funny because it's, I'd say, the technicals are a very, very small part of trading, right? Like, mm-hmm. you at the end of the day, the idea of, like, buying low, selling high, like, I could teach anyone that. But can I teach somebody to, like, control their emotions, control, your like, the FOMO?
Yeah.
That's where people lose. So that was where I lost in the beginning, right? I really had a lot of FOMO. Instead of trying to, not so much predict the market, but trying to, like, be with the market, I would try to fight the market.
Mm.
Right? The market would be going up, and I'm like, oh, it's got to pull back. Let me short. You know, oh, it's going to, and I would always try to, like, be contrarian to, like, what the market was doing, because I thought, like, oh, it's going straight up, so now it's got to pull back.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of traders do that. So that was my biggest problem first starting out. And it was also just, like, focusing. When I first started out, I would, like, jump from one thing to another and, like, one thing and then one thing and one thing and just constantly, you know, jumping. I was always, jumping in between stuff. And that's what a lot of people do.
Sure.
Right? The trading is... It's like, I guess, like, if you started playing golf, right? Like, when you start playing golf, like, you have to start the basics, and you have to build on that. You can't, like, buy a set of clubs, learn how to use those clubs, and then a week later go be like, oh, man, I need new clubs.
Right.
You got to, like, kind of figure out what works and, like, stay with that and focus on that.
You got to build consistency, almost like get a sample size.
You need consistency, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's trading, right? If you don't find consistency, well, then you're not going to make money.
Yeah.
And a lot of traders, they're so attached, they're so focused on, how can I get rich? How can I make money quick? You know, a lot of traders, they come into trading from, like, a very, I'd say, like, I don't want to say, like, a bad place, but they come into trading with, like, kind of in a bad financial place.
Yeah, sure.
Like, I had a guy the other day, he's like, man, I spent all my money, you know, on trading. I've lost everything. And I'm like, I feel bad, but at the same time, like, that guy, he would have lost everything either way. Like, yeah. He would have went to the casino. He would have went somewhere and lost it. He would have sports betting, whatever it is. So, like, you know, going into trading from, like, a vulnerable financial position, that's a bad place to be in mentally.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, you're not going to be able to come in, like, execute and be, like, you know, you almost have to be objective or withdrawn a little bit and okay with, like, losing. And if you're not properly bankrolled, you're, you know, the stress compounds.
Well, it's hard, right? Because if your rent is due at the end of the month, and the only way you're going to pay your rent is if you make money trading.
Yeah.
I bet not, you know, nine out of nine times that person is not going to make money trading.
Yeah.
So I love, like, where I'm at right now, because obviously, like, I've been doing it long enough where I even said today on the stream, like, for me, it's no longer about winning or losing. It's just about just showing up every day.
Yeah.
Right. If I have, yesterday I lost $5,000 trading. All right. That's normal, right? If I have a $5,000 loss day, it's not a big deal, because I have $15,000, $20,000 days.
Right.
So it's all, you know, in perspective. And as a new trader, it's very hard to lose money.
Yeah.
I think it's humans. Humans are just, we're bad at losing, right? Especially they say that women are better traders than men because men have more of an ego.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we want to be right. Like, we put a trade on and we're like, yeah, it's got to go up. Yeah. And like, well, I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
Just because I said it was going to go up don't mean it's going to go up.
Right,
you know?
Right. Yeah, man. People have said, like, we're not designed, like, to, gamble, like, and it's like, it's very counterintuitive. Like, so, like, we could put on a good trade, right, and still lose.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not like result doesn't always equal, like, how good your process was or your setup. And so that could be very confusing for people. And just like, to the part about, like, the stress it puts on people, like, you know, I think I shared with you when we went to the Panthers game, I played poker, I have a poker background, and, like, at times I was playing on a thin bankroll. And the psychological stress
makes it so much harder.
It put on me, because, like, yeah, I got to pay bills. And it's like, I've lost 10 straight sessions. I can't lose another one. Like, you just can't operate in that manner.
Well, speaking of poker, you know, I love in that movie Molly's Game.
Yeah.
There's that one guy. He's like, he's an amazing poker player, but he barely bets. The older, he was like, I forgot his name, but he was like the whole older guy that came in. Mm-hmm. And nobody liked him because he, like, never really bet.
Yeah, big. Right, right.
You know,
right.
He always just folded.
He was very tight, yeah, very tight player, yeah, yeah.
And then he ended up getting beat by that one guy that never won.
Yeah.
And he went on tilt and lost, like, $2 million.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, but that's trading.
Exactly.
Right? You have a trader who, he makes $200 a day for a week straight, and he thinks he's the best trader in the world. And then the following week, he loses $1,000 every day.
Yeah.
And it's so hard to stop. I mean, I go on tilt. That's why there's obviously now we have rules, and we try to, like, I put a max loss. Like, all my accounts have a max loss.
Yeah.
$10,000 is the maximum I can lose in a day.
Yeah.
Like, if it, my broker, I told him, like, whatever happens, do not let me change it. Mm-hmm. You know, if I call you begging you to change it, don't do it.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, deal. So, like, that's, and I know that, like, hey, how do I stop myself from, like, going on tilt? And, you know, like, it's kind of the same thing with that guy playing poker. It's like, yeah, you lost that one hand.
Yeah.
But, like, do you really want to, like, do you want to go down this rabbit hole and just keep on spiraling?
Well, and then it blows. You can, I mean, you know this too from trading. And that's what I love, because, like, poker and trading, it's so similar. Like, one,
Money management.
Well, which is probably what? The most important?
Yeah.
You could argue it's the most important. One bad session can ruin a great month.
A year.
Yeah. What, it could ruin your
life.
Your whole life. Yeah, right. And so
that's, you could be the most consistent poker player in the world, making $100,000 every year, being the happiest person, like, I'm so consistent. And then one day lose $1 million.
Yeah. And you know what's so funny with that example is, like, so realistic, because that's how a lot of, like, players of that, like, archetype are very much like that. They'll be like, very tight, I'm waiting for hands. And then you lose to some donkey and it just sets you off because you're sitting there being patient the whole time. It just sets
that
you off.
Honestly, that's, even with trading, that's the worst. Because you'll sit there, you know, being patient, waiting and waiting and waiting. And it, I think the longer that you end up waiting, the harder it is to, like, stop yourself from FOMOing or going on tilt, right?
Yeah.
Same thing with you. Like, if you played all day, you're playing really, you know, risk adverse, you're winning good hands, you're not going in on other hands. And like you said, you get that one idiot
Yeah.
Who's like laughing because he had nothing.
Yeah.
He didn't even have cards, but he went all in, and you were like, all right, you know, folded, and then you see that you lost it, you know. So now it's like
it sets you off. Yeah, it's like almost like I think like at least for myself, and maybe it's relatable to other people. Like I like, oh well, my patience should have been rewarded. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, I get these like I've been doing all the right things, but we're in a game where there's luck involved. The stock market, you know, like same thing. Like, and that's why I think these things are tough. It's not like a sports game where like. Little more, there's not as much luck. I mean, there's, I would probably argue there's still luck in sports too, but not to the degree that we're dealing with it.
Hey, there's an old saying, I'd rather be lucky over good any day.
Yeah.
You know, like, absolutely. We do a lot of fishing tournaments, and I think we've won probably like $400,000-$500,000 from fishing tournaments.
Sick.
And people ask, like, oh man, you must just get lucky. I'm like, yeah, like, there's obviously luck, but at the same time, there's a difference between being lucky and then knowing how to like
capitalize on the
luck. Manage that. Like how to, you know, like same thing in poker.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you can be the luckiest person in the world and you can get the best hand, but do you know how to like get through to the, you know, to get it to the point where you're going to win the pot?
To maximize it. Yeah. To maximize your EV, maximize your expected value. Because I think of it this way too. Like we're all going to eventually get the same amount of luck.
Yeah.
It's going to balance 100%. Out. And then who's going to do the most with it?
Yeah.
And that's.
Well, that, you know, like it's like not to get all godly and stuff, but there's always like that saying about people are like, man, you know, no one's ever looking out for me. God never helped me. And it's like, and then God's standing there like, yeah. What about all the times I told you to turn left and you went right? You know, I told you so many times to go left.
Right.
And that's like, you know, same thing with trading. You get, like you said, like the luck where people, like things could have happened, but they didn't happen because you were lucky. But in your head, you're like, nothing happened to me today. You know, like, it's like, well, it could have been a lot worse. So I think everybody has luck. And that's like that one thing that I really always try to make a point with people is like, at the end of the day, everybody is born, you know, with a hand of cards, right? Some people have luck, some people have brains, some people have work ethic, some people are just, they don't got nothing. But everyone's got something, you know? Mm-hmm. But so it's like, you got to figure out what you're good at, and then you got to take off, like really just hammer on that.
Yeah.
Me, I know I'm good at talking, right? I was a class clown in school. I talked a lot. Everyone knew who I was. And I was like, you know, when I started YouTube, everyone's like, who's going to watch you starting a YouTube? I'm like, I don't know. Somebody, like maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, I had no. When I first started my YouTube, I was getting 100 views on a video 8 years ago, and everyone was laughing at me. My girlfriend, her parents, everybody told me like, "You're an idiot."
Yeah.
You're like, you're literally wasting your time.
Yeah.
And I just was like, all right, well, I mean, I'd rather waste my time and I'd rather fail on my own terms.
Sure.
Than go work a normal job and look back 40 years later and be like, wow, at least I showed up for work for 40 years.
Yeah. Right.
You know, my dad has a business, so I grew up. In that mentality as well, my dad would instill. He'd be like, Patrick, you know, if you really want to live, if you want to live life on your terms, if you want to, you know, make something for yourself, you got to have your own business.
Yeah.
You got to have something that you own, that you're like, that's what you're addicted to, you're just focused on, that's what you want to see succeed. Because if you don't have that, then you're just working for somebody else. Yep. You're making somebody else's dream come true, you know? And that's like, that's the hardest part.
Yeah. I'm totally in line with that. And, you know, maybe that is for some people, you know, to do that. But, the fulfillment in doing like what you love and doing like what you're calling is, I mean, you can't like, so you gotta, you know, I feel the same thing. It's like, man, I like, can't go work for some schmuck and like, I'll be miserable, man. I might as well take this shot. And if I'm broke, you know, whatever.
People
you know?
Always ask me, they're like, Patrick, you know, how do you have so much energy in the morning? You know, how do you have so much energy when you wake up? I'm like, I wake up and I'm literally, I jump out of bed. I'm like, oh, let's go, boys. It's 5:00. You know, I'm excited. I get so pumped up.
Yeah.
My girlfriend even, she gets mad. She goes, God, you, like, you know, like you're just too much in the morning. I'm like, no, God, I'm excited. Right? Like, I love what I do. I get to go to work every day and I get to make money and I get to have fun and I get to film videos like this and talk to people and meet people. And like, it's fun to me. Like, I love this. So for me, it's like, that's why when I started all this, it was never about how much money can I make.
Yeah.
It was like, what can I do that I'm gonna be happy?
And that's what the most successful people, like, that's what they all say.
Yeah,
man.
Always.
Like, even all the people we've talked to on here, is like, it started with a love and a passion.
Yeah, yeah.
Not about, like, hey, I want to make a lot of money. Like we were talking about, a lot of people come to the markets that way. They come to the markets because they want to make a lot of money.
Yeah.
They don't come to the markets because, like, you know, like, I just have a love for strategy and wanting to figure puzzles out and stuff like that. You know what I mean? And, like, there's got to be a love or, you know.
Yeah,
I think the priorities are backwards.
Yeah,
the money shouldn't be the priority.
Well, the biggest problem too is it all goes back to like our childhood, right? I don't know like how your parents were. I don't know how everyone's parents were, but I feel like a lot of parents, they're very like, they teach their kids from a young age, don't do that. You know, like
sure.
If you're riding your bicycle, be careful. be careful, be careful. And it's like all they're doing is just like basically brainwashing you into thinking that like you should never take a risk.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? I have a 12-year-old, and if he's doing something, I'm like, oh, he's gonna get hurt. I'm kind of like, I'm smiling, like, here he goes.
He's
about to get it, and he's gonna learn, right? And then he's gonna be like, oh, I'm not doing that again, you know?
Right.
Like, I want him to learn. I don't want to be like, Landon, don't do that. Oh my, you're gonna get hurt. Yeah. Be careful. Put your helmet on, you know? Like, be careful, be careful. So like, for me, it's all about like, I want him to learn.
Yeah.
What happens when you make bad choices.
Right.
And I try to instill in him too. I'm like, hey, you know, everything you do in life, like your name, who you are as a person, like that's what is the value.
Yeah.
Right? You gotta have pride. And that all goes back to like owning your own business. And like I'm not saying everyone should have their own business, you know, not everyone could be a YouTuber, not everybody can be a podcast host, you know?
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like there's something for everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Like you could be the best plumber, you can be the best woodworker, you can be the best, you know, editor. There are so many ways, and it's not about money either. Like I know plenty of people that don't make a lot of money and they're the happiest people in the world.
For sure.
But they do what they love, you know? Like I know guys that they're electricians. Like, oh, I love being an electrician.
Yeah.
It's fun. I like figuring out wires and like moving, you know, building something, putting my hands on something.
Yeah. Yeah.
So those are the people that are going to be successful, you know, like at the end of the day.
For sure. Like to your point, we're playing the cards that were dealt. Like everyone has their innate strengths and it's leaning into those.
Yeah.
Not so much, oh, well, I can't do this. I can't. Well, that's fine. What can you do?
when I first started filming, I started filming back when I was like 18, 19. I'm 36 now. Which is crazy to think about. But like when I first started filming, I wanted to film wakeboarding and that's all I wanted to do. I just wanted to film cool wakeboarding videos and I wanted to make cool things.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, I couldn't make enough money just doing cool stuff because the cool stuff doesn't pay.
Yeah.
Right? Like the passion projects don't pay. So what did I do? I filmed corporate videos. I filmed weddings. I filmed all this stuff that I hated.
Yeah.
I hated going to a wedding and filming. I was like, oh, not again. Like I really hated it. Because it's so monotonous. No one's ever happy. The bride, at the end of the day, they're mad. But so for me, it's like I did all this stuff that I didn't want to do so that I could keep doing what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
Because finally, I got to a point where I was like, I was making enough money filming professionally that like I didn't have to do weddings anymore.
Yeah.
I didn't have to go film corporate videos. Like, yeah. That was like, that's when I knew I was hitting success because I was like, hey, now I can do what I want to do. But a lot of people, they won't do that.
Yeah.
You know, they'll start like people are like, oh, I want to do auto detailing, and I only want to detail Lamborghinis. I'm like, well, good luck.
Yeah.
How many Lamborghinis are out there? So like, you gotta detail cars that you don't want to detail.
Yeah.
To make, you know, make a life out of it. So
I guess people get this misconception that like you just hit success overnight, or like you don't have to pay your dues.
No.
And that's something I want. You know, you already brought it up about like your early days of streaming and only get 100 views and stuff. Like, how long did it take for you to build momentum? And then if it took a little bit, what kept you enthused and
keep going? Not to sidetrack, but like think about it. Like, look at Jeff Bezos, right? How many times was he told no?
Yeah.
How many times was he laughed at? How many times did people say, oh, you're an idiot. Nobody wants to buy books online.
Yeah.
You know, like everybody told him that.
Yeah.
He said he went to like 400 different VCs to get an investment. Finally, his parents gave him money to start the website. You know, and it's like, he's the richest person on the planet now.
Yeah.
Why? Because he did exactly what he wanted to do. He had the vision. So I always tell people, like, if your vision isn't crazy enough that everyone says that it's not going to work, then it's probably not, like, a good enough vision.
Yeah.
You know, like, you got to, like, I have an idea, and everyone's like, that's not going to work. You're like, now I know it's going to work.
Yeah.
You know, because if I go to Jason and I have this idea, and he's like, yeah, I don't know, Patrick, that's not a very good idea. I'm like, he don't know why I believe in it. He don't see the vision of it, right?
Right.
So that's why I started the YouTube. When I started the YouTube, I was like, I know I'm good at making videos. I know I'm good at making content. I have a passion for it. I was already a filmer editor.
Mm-hmm.
And I was working with like companies like Red Bull, Nike, all these big companies. And I was helping tell their story, helping build their brand.
Okay.
But there's no equity in that, right? Like I can film videos for Nike all day and film cool videos and get paychecks. But like, there's no equity in that. Nike's not going to call me like, hey, Patrick, thanks for that video that you made 10 years ago. Here's $1 million, you know, in equity. It's like, no.
Yeah, yeah.
So I got to the point where I was like, I'm tired of building other brands. I'm tired of working for other people and like helping them get rich.
Yeah.
So I was like, I want to get rich. And I was like, what's the best way to do it? I mean, I don't know. I was like, I kind of saw the trajectory of social media. I mean, I started kind of YouTube into like 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And there really wasn't a lot of people doing what I do today. Now there's a lot of people.
Say you got it on early, yeah.
Yeah, I got it in like time. 2017 was when I first started. Yeah. Like, there's like live streams of me in 2017, which are hilarious because it's like, you know, I'm sitting there and like my little bedroom, my white wall in the background with my crappy lights, and it was terrible. At one point, I had a mattress behind me, just like a white mattress, because I was like, oh, it helps with the sound, you know?
Yeah, and now
I got a 765 McLaren behind me. So,
upgraded a little bit.
It's just, I think a lot of people, they're afraid to like take, not even so much to take the chance, but like they're afraid to like, put something out and be like, oh, it's not good, you know? I'm not happy with it, you know? Like, same thing with like podcasting. Like, you got to just start.
Yeah.
Like the only way to start it is to start it. You know, you can sit here all day long and be like, man, I want to wait until I get the right microphones. I want to wait until I have a studio. I want to wait until I have the right camera. I want to wait until I have the right guest.
There's never the right time.
No, there's never. It's
there's
like today.
Never the right time. Yeah.
Like, when's the best time to get in shape? I don't know, today?
Right.
Like, well, I'm going to wait until next month because I think next month I'll really be motivated to go to the gym. You're like, well, I mean,
yeah.
What else a day? So that was the same thing with the YouTube.
Yeah.
You know, I to be honest, like, I had a vision. Maybe I was a little, like, you know, a little overconfident that it would work out, but it went from, you know, I was making like $5.
That's better than the opposite end, right?
It's almost
better, I think, in my mind, to be like a little delusional
and
just go for it than to be like timid and like that.
I mean, what's the worst that happens? I failed.
Right.
I wasted 2 years of my life. I don't know. I mean, I loved it. It was fun, you know? I loved it. And then, again.
So how long did it take to, you know, you got the mattress in the back,
you're
out of the house to like, okay, now I'm making a good living from doing this, and now we're in this warehouse.
My favorite question always is like, when did you actually find success? I'm like, I don't remember like a moment where it was like it all like clicked, right? I remember, first off, like I remember the grind.
Yeah.
But I don't remember what there ever was like a light bulb moment where I was like, oh my God, rich now.
Yeah.
It's always been kind of like steady grind.
Yeah,
you know,
like
figuring out like, okay, hey, you know, when I first started YouTube, it was like if I made $10 like in a day, you know, from YouTube, I was like, oh, that's pretty sick, you know? I told my girlfriend, I'm like, babe. You know, Chipotle's free today. I'm getting Chipotle for free because I made $15 on YouTube. So it's kind of like YouTube pays for my Chipotle.
Yeah.
And then it was, I remember like my first $100 day, like from ad revenue on YouTube. And that was like, wow. That is crazy.
Yeah.
And it just kind of like, you know, it got to a point where I was like $3,000-$5,000 a month, like just from YouTube, like ad revenue and stuff. And it's a grind, you know, because you never know what's going to go viral. You never know what's going to pop off. Like,
you
can make videos every single day. I've seen plenty of YouTubers that they make all these videos and nothing happens. Right. It's just like we live in a world now where it's hard. It's hard. To stand out, it's hard to build a brand
because
everyone's trying, everyone's copying. You know, oh, I can build a YouTube channel and do exactly what Patrick does. And it's like, you can try, but you can't. You know, there's a reason I'm where I'm at. Like every day, we're continuously like the most at one time like concurrent viewed like prop firm futures live stream in the world right now.
Yeah.
And you got companies that are spending money that are paying people that are like they have a whole. They're trying everything they can to take me down, and it's just like. Keep trying.
Yeah.
Because I really do stand on like what I say. If I talk a lot of crap, but at the same time, it's like I show the results.
Yeah.
And I've always like kind of shown that with people. And I told people, like, people ask me if they want to get into day trading, I tell them don't. Because that's like honestly the best response.
Yeah.
Because like, why not? And I'm like, because you're going to fail.
Right.
And they're like, oh, really? Like, you do it? And I'm like, yeah, but I failed.
Yeah.
I failed so many times before I was successful.
Right.
You know, like, you just see the success, but you didn't see the 8 years.
Right.
I mean, pulling out my hair, you know, I mean, it gets very dark.
Yeah.
You know, trading can get very, very dark.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's a solo thing. You're by yourself. You're normally just in a room by yourself. You're losing money. You're like, I'm sure the same thing with poker.
Oh, absolutely.
If you just feel like you're never getting good cards. You start to like look at yourself like, oh, I'm fucked.
It's like a dark cloud over you, and like when is this ever going to change?
Yeah.
When's my luck ever going to change?
What is that? The movie Blow, when they're like, you know, when you're down, you never think you're going to be up, and when you're up, you never think you're going to be down.
Yeah.
So I live pretty much with this saying now that like, no matter what, if I lose everything, I'm exactly where I started.
Yeah.
All right, I'm not going back. I can't go down at this point. So I'm pretty much like, if all of this is gone. I'm still fine. Cause like I can just do it all over again.
Yeah.
Start a new business. I'll start a landscape. I'll be the best damn landscaper. I'll be the best McDonald's fry cook in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the problem is like they're like, yeah, but you can't work at McDonald's. I'm like, well, if I did, I'd be the best one there ever. You know, they'd be like calling me from corporate going, hey, we want you to be our star fry cook.
Yeah.
Cause that's a passion that I feel like no matter what, I'm gonna win and I'm gonna like make it happen. So I've always had that. You know, I worked construction growing up. My dad, he has a construction company. And I told him one day, I'm like, screw this. This ain't for me. Working construction, making $400 a week. This is back in the day. I was getting $400 a week salary. And, you know, working. Like, out on a roof, tearing off roofs, putting roofs on, like, in Florida.
Dude, in Florida.
Yeah, like, it's gnarly.
I always think this. I give these guys so much credit, yeah. Man. In Florida, it's in gnarly. The heat, man.
Nobody wants to do it. No. I mean, but they do. Someone's got to do it. But, like, it's hard. And I grew up in that, you know? So to get to a point where I can make $400 in a minute, it's all perspective, right? I'm like, sure. Damn, I used to work and, like, kill myself. And, like, my brain melting in my head make $400 a week. And now I'm like, if I can do that in a day.
Yeah.
You know, that's the goal, the dream.
That's sweet, man. It's all in the mentality, man.
Yeah.
It really is, from trading to life. So number one live streamer, you brought up the prop firms. This is what I wanted to ask you, and that's what I like. I like your I like how you kind of take people on. Like you're just like, bring it on. Like you don't care. I like how you tell people don't come into trading.
Yeah.
Like what are you thinking? You're gonna
fail.
Money. But for people that are going to come in anyway,
yeah.
Right? Like you like the funding prop firm route for people. I guess they don't got to put up their own money. Well,
yeah.
Except for the evals. Yeah, the, for the evals.
Yeah.
So I guess what's your thoughts on for new people getting in? Use your capital or pros and cons.
Yeah.
We'll go pros and cons of the prop firms.
I mean, it's all about leverage, right? At the end of the day, if you put $100 into a normal broker, you can't trade. It's just like, what are you going to do? You're going to buy and sell one share a day and make 50 cents.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? So you really need leverage. You have to get leverage for trading. The great thing about the futures prop firms is, number one, you're getting the leverage. You're also getting structure, right? For a lot of new traders, they lack structure.
Yeah.
They have no rules. They have no idea what they're doing. They have no goals, right? So to put someone in a prop firm and be like, hey, look, you need to make $3,000. You can't lose more than $2,000. Now do it. Right now, I've given you a goal. I've given you a task. Whereas, if you just put $50,000 into your own personal account, what are you going to do? What's your goal? You're going to be like, okay, I need to make $100,000, and then you're going to lose $50,000, and you're gonna be like, what the hell? You know, how did I lose? So that's what I mean for the prop firms. Like, you just cannot beat the value, right? If you buy two or three accounts for $500, you get them funded, you get a $10,000 payout. The goal is to go to the prop firms, prove. Like I tell people, I'm like, hey, even if you have money, if you want to start trading, why not use a prop firm as a test?
Yeah, there you go.
You know, it would almost be like if you're playing poker and you're like, you want to be on the World Series of Poker, but hey, there's a local series that you can go out and it's a lot cheaper. You can trade. You can prove to the world that you're good enough to win locally before you go to Vegas.
Right.
You know, that would make more sense. So I think that's really what the prop firms are. They're a stepping stone, right? You go into the prop firm, you apply your strategy. Because the problem is, if you're only trading a demo account, if you're trading paper trading, mentally, there's no risk to reward.
Right.
So you trade totally different. I have people all the time, man, Patrick, whenever I trade the demo account, I make $1 million. I'm like, yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Everybody does, you know? Yeah. When you're playing poker on your phone playing a robot, yeah, you can win every hand and be like, look, I made $1 million poker today. Yeah, it's easy.
Yeah.
But when there's real money, there's real people, and there's real stuff
online. Get your heart pounding, the adrenaline going, it's way different.
There is nothing. I mean, put on 15 contracts on the NASDAQ and feel that you'll feel alive.
Yeah, yeah.
You're gonna feel alive.
I think about even me growing up playing sports, or they say this with athletes too. You'll have a guy who looks so good in practice
all the
time, but then he gets to the game.
Yeah.
And he's nervous. He's making bad plays. It's different. You can't simulate live action. I mean, you can, but not.
You'll never have that emotional connection to it.
Right.
Same thing. It's you can shoot three pointers all day in practice. But when it's 5 seconds left on the bell, it's the NBA championship, and the only way you're going to win is if it's you scoring that? Tell me there is no similarity between practice and that moment.
Yeah, yeah. Or you brought up golf, these guys that are going on the back nine with the lead.
Yeah.
You can't simulate that pressure. You know what I mean? You got one stroke lead and you're going down.
18th hole, you have to make that putt or you lose.
Yeah.
That's a putt you'll make all day, every day, a million times. But when it comes to the pressure, you know, and that's trading, right? Trading really, it's pressure every day to perform. It's you know, like we said, you can make $100 on Monday, $100 on Tuesday, and then lose $10,000 on Wednesday.
Yeah.
So it's it's all about trying to manage that risk, manage that expectations.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's got to be with anything, though, right? No matter what business you do, if you start a business, like my girlfriend, we started a Pilates studio, and it's profitable. We're making money because we've killed it. But you know, when you first start a business, like the reward is just being able to like have the business. Like you're not gonna get any money, you know, day one. It's like you got to grind, you got to put it in there, and you got to spend a few months kind of, you know, not getting paid, even though you're working 80 hours a week.
Yeah, right.
And my girlfriend's like, oh man, I've been working nonstop, but I'm not making any money. I'm like, honey, like, you've only been open for a month, you know, give it a little bit of time, you know, it's got to scale. Right. Plenty of people open businesses and they never even pay themselves for years, and they end up closing their business because they never made money in the first place. So it's a longevity thing. And I thought, so that's what I love about trading, is you can trade for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Right? Like you can come into trading, you can trade a little bit here and there if your life doesn't give you, if you don't have the, you know, like if timing's not right, you're just not in the right place mentally, whatever it is. There's always like the future, right? Yeah. You can take a break.
Yeah.
Same thing with poker. I mean, I don't know. I don't play a lot of poker, but I feel like if you learn how to play poker when you're 18 years old and you get good at it, you can play poker when you're 30.
Yeah.
Like the rules don't change.
Yep.
Same thing with trading. So like, I think some people, they get so caught up in like, I have to do this today.
Right.
You know, I just started trading and I got to get successful. It's like, well, I mean, why not just like, you know, like just learn, be a part of it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. You don't gotta. Yeah, exactly. Cause like I play infrequent now, but like once I start playing, it comes right back. You know what I mean? I get back into it. Yeah, yeah. You come back and you don't have to, especially if people are coming. If you're coming into trading with like not much of a bankroll, take it easy. You don't got to trade heavy at first.
Well, if I'm a totally beginner poker player and I'm like, hey, I want to get into poker, what do you tell me? Like, what would be the secret to like being a successful poker player?
Yeah, well, I would say like, well, bankroll management for one, right? And like, yeah, don't go crazy at first. Learn, start off small, learn the game. You know what I mean? And like, and to your point, it's a longevity game.
Yeah.
It's always going to be there. You start scaling up when you're ready.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
You start moving up stakes. Well, in poker, we call it moving up stakes, right? So you start at like maybe a 1-2 game, go to 2-5, 5-10, 10-25, you know, et cetera. But you do it when you're properly bankrolled. And then obviously, you got to learn the strategy and stuff.
But along the guy that comes to you and says, hey, I got $100,000. I want to start playing poker and I want to go big. You're going to be like, okay, just give me your money now because you're going to lose it all either way.
Yeah.
No matter what. Like, it don't matter. Like, you can read all the books in the world, but like, go and actually play a game where you have $50,000 in a pot and you have to like...
Right, it's the same thing. Studying is different than playing it. Theory is different than practice, for sure. All right, I want to ask you just some miscellaneous. That was good trading talk, for sure. We brought up golf.
Yeah.
I've taken up golf in like the past year.
Oh, yeah?
I love it. So many similarities to trading as well. And I like golf too, because even like it seems like with the pros, there's like a degree of like... You know, the smallest margins of hitting the ball could be like 25 yards this way straight. So maybe like a little luck in that. How about you, golf? I think I've seen.
I grew up in Orlando and I worked at a country club as a kid. So like I played golf just for like on the, you know, we have every Monday the country club is closed. So we would all like go out and play golf and, you know, drive around golf carts because it was fun. I play it. It's one of those games where you got to, I hate stuff where like I have to like.
You got a lot of time. You got a lot of time.
You got to really do it a lot, and you got to like really like spend time.
Yeah.
If you don't, then like, you're not gonna get that reward. So, but like you said, with the golf thing, it's kind of I would say for like a professional golfer, you know, they basically have to manage their risk. Like, okay, if you let's say you oh my god, like I made a bad shot. Well, that next shot, like. Are you going to go and whiff it again? Are you going to go and make the next shot bad? Or are you going to be like, okay, I'm going to relax, take a breath.
Right.
I'm going to hit this next shot, and then we're going to be back in the green. You know, we're going to be back. We're going to be all right.
Right.
But we can spiral. We go on tilt really quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
That one shot that you messed up on, all of a sudden, like, now you're down 8 shots because you went on tilt and started going crazy.
One bad shot spirals into, and that's why it's funny. I seen the other day, like Scottie Scheffler, so like the number one in the world.
Yeah.
They said you made more money betting on him than the S&P 500 the past like 5 years or something, just betting him to win.
Yeah.
But that's one thing he's so good at. Like he doesn't get rattled. He's so good at recovering from a bad shot.
Yeah.
I think you could make the same analogy with trading, right? Like, you
know, the best traders are the ones who can recover.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like when you're, I see plenty of people like they go into drawdown. Right, and they're like, "Oh man, I'm in drawdown. What should I do?" I'm like, "I don't know. Just trade like you would when you're not in drawdown."
Yeah.
Cause like, just cause you're in drawdown doesn't mean you're a terrible trader. It just means you had a few bad days.
Yeah.
So like, the mental is now like, okay, if I made money, you know, last week, but this week I'm losing money. Okay, I just need to stop, take a breath, you know, keep my shit and keep it in check, and then I'll be all right on the next one.
Yeah, for sure.
So
I referenced it earlier. We were at a Panthers game, and we were fortunate enough to, you know, you giving out some tickets.
Yeah,
we were fortunate to get some, and we appreciate it. Thank you for that. We had a great time. I brought my buddy. In the suite, I met your, had some great conversations with people. I met your boat captain.
Yeah, Danny.
Shout out to Danny. Had a great conversation with Danny. I believe he was one of the mechanics, a Canadian guy. I forget his name. I met him and his wife.
Oh, yeah. No, that's, I'm terrible. I'm an idiot with names, but, yeah, I know you're talking about.
I got to shout him out. I had a great conversation.
How did I forget? Jeremy. Jeremy.
Cool people. Yeah. I really enjoyed talking to them. I was talking with Ginger, too. I had a great time, so thank you for that. And shout out to Panthers. Won the Stanley Cup last night.
There we go. 2-2.
Yeah.
Back
great
to
time.
Back, baby.
Yeah, my sister was at. My sister was actually at the game. She's down at the – they're all partying down at the elbow room.
Oh, yeah. So it'll be going
on. She's been sending me pictures. But I brought that up because of the boating. You know, because I'm asking him, because, you know, I'm in some, like, loose conversations with other people about boating. I'm like, hey, so I'm asking him questions, and he's like, no, like, I'm with Patrick full-time. I don't do anything else.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, that's sick. So, like, just tell me about the boating, like where you, like, where you go, like,
Yeah, so, we basically have, like, a full team, like a professional team. We do all the professional sail fishing tournaments here in South Florida. There's a lot of money. I mean, you're fishing against people like Michael Jordan.
So, I mean, you said you've won like 400,000.
Yeah, we're a little over 400,000. Yeah,
this is serious.
There's serious money. I mean, there's millions of dollars on the line.
Yeah.
Like, there's a tournament we're going to be fishing in Hawaii next month that it's like a $1.5 million.
So these are team events, or?
They're all like, it's normally like a rich guy owns a boat, and then he pays for everything, and then he has like a team.
Okay.
Kind of like every kind of like weird, like, outlier sport. It's normally a rich guy pays for everything, and then you have a team.
So you're the
rich guy.
All right. Because I want to say you're the guy fishing.
I'm the rich guy.
I'm like, this man has many talents over here.
Yeah, so we have like a full, you know, Danny's full time with me. That's why I try to, like, people don't understand is, you know, they see me on YouTube, they see me yelling and screaming, going crazy, but, like, you know, I've got Jason, I've got Ginger, I've got another girl, I've got Alex, I've got a whole team of people, I've got Danny, I've got another mate. You know, that are relying on me making money.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like, it's a lot of pressure sometimes. Because when you have a red day, you lose $50,000. You're like, shit, I gotta pay the payroll.
Yeah,
you know, payroll's gotta be done this week. So
yeah.
It is a little bit of pressure, but I like it. And I mean, you know, it's hard to do what I do without a team.
Sure.
Right? Like Ginger, she's, you know, she might not be every day like doing stuff for like the trading and all that, but like when it comes to just like stuff getting done, it's like, hey, Ginger, I need to get these t-shirts done. Mm-hmm. She gets it done for me. And then I tell Jason, I'm like, hey, I need, you know, I can edit and film and do everything myself. But at the same time, it's like, I don't have time. Right? I can't edit and film and do the talking and do picking up shirts. So you need a team of people.
For sure.
You know, the old saying, like, if you want to go fast, you go alone. If you want to go far, you go with other people.
Mm.
You know, and I try to find people that I'm like, like, you know, Jason, when I hired him, I was like, look, like, it's going to be hard, right? I'm going to be on your ass. Like, the expectations are very high. But, like, you're going to get rewarded for that. Like, I'm not, like, I'm going to give you a very, very fair salary knowing that, like, hey, I'm expecting shit to get done.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I am kind of, like, with all my kind of employees, I guess. You know, it's weird to say employees, but, like, yeah, I just kind of, everyone has, like, expectations. They kind of know, like, what needs to be done, and I think that's, you got to lead by example as a, you know, as an owner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't expect people to show up early if you show up late every time. You can't expect people to, you know, answer the phone if you never answer the phone when they call. And it's give and take. It's a weird, I'm 36 now, so it's like getting to that point where it's like, yeah, I've got employees now. I've got people to kind of manage and talk to every day. And I got to keep, it gets hard because I get a little, I get a little crazy, especially with trading. If I have like a red day trading, the last thing I want to do is like have a meeting.
Yeah, you know?
Like, so that's the last thing. I even tell Jason, I'm like, if I have a red day, just don't talk to me.
Yeah.
That's the best thing for us to do. Because don't ask me questions. Don't be like, what happened?
Yeah.
My girlfriend does the same shit. Like, and I told her after a while, I was like, just don't ask me.
Yeah.
She'll be like, how was your day? I'm like, don't ask me. No matter what, just don't ask me. Because I try to live, every day is the same. Mm-hmm. Green, red, bad, good.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to just keep that same kind of mentality. I'm going home. When I leave here, no matter if I'm red or if I'm green, I'm still going home. I'm alive. I've got my wealth. I've got my my fortune, then I'm going to keep that mentality going forward.
Yeah, for sure. I used to, early on in poker, I used to be a miserable person when I would lose.
Yeah.
And I felt like, yeah, I had this girlfriend. Like,
I
was a terrible person to be around. And I'm like,
hard to explain it to her.
You can't explain. Yeah, you can't explain. Just like, I'm like, man, like, and so that's why, like, when we were talking about trading and, like, applying it even to more broad aspects of life, like, it actually has made me a better person.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, okay, well, when things go bad, I can't be bad to the people around me. I have a son, too. I can't be a miserable prick. You know what I mean? Like, I got people who rely on me and, like, in my life. And and I think a lot of respects, like, you know, it's improved me as a person. I like thinking on things on deeper levels like that. Speaking of sons, I was joking with you before, but I think I think we got to have a little showdown. Your son versus my son trading.
He's pretty good.
So for the viewers that don't know, you had your son. I'm like, yo, what is this guy doing? Like, you had your son
in front of 5,000 people, literally trading. Just sitting here.
Listen, I'm not. No one's trying to get you in trouble or nothing. But I'm like, man, can you get in trouble for these things or what? Like,
I mean, what are they gonna do? Arrest me for letting my son trade my account? You know, they'd be like, you let a 12-year-old trade your money? I'm like, yes. And they're like, well, I guess you're an idiot, so that's fine. You know, like, people. The funniest is like people online are like, I can't believe you. You know, the things that you say in front of your son, and I'm like, you think what I'm saying is bad? Like, imagine what these little kids on the internet say to each other. Like, I grew up, we didn't have social media.
Yeah.
So I really, like, it sucks because, like, I know, you know, what he's going to have to deal with. Because he's going to go to school, and it's like, you know, people bully you, social media. They, you don't have certain clothes, you don't have certain shoes, you know? Like, it's a totally different world we live in now, and it's all social media based. It's like, if you don't have the latest trending clothes, then you're not cool.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? So I fear for that. So he knows what I do. He knows that a lot. Like I explained to him, I'm joke. It's comedy, right? He gets it. He's not an idiot. So I feel like trying to shelter your kid from something like that, or trying to like think that your kid's not smart enough to know.
It's like patronize. Yeah, I think a lot of parents patronize.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't cuss in front of my child. It's like, okay, well, like.
Let's see, you hear what they're saying here in high school? Or my son's football team. Oh, my God. Like, I listen to him talk. I'm like, oh, well, there's no more coddling now. Yeah.
I curse in front of my son, but it's not like he – it's just kind of like my normal vocabulary. You know, I'll say fucking, you know, or whatever. But, like, honestly, I feel like the reason – me saying it more in front of him makes him want to say it less.
Yeah.
Right, because it's not like this cool thing. Now it's my dad says it all the time.
It's funny. It's like that effect, right? You tell him one thing. Yeah.
If I said, son, you should never curse. Yeah. You should never say things like that. He'd be like, I'm going to say it.
Yeah.
I want to say it. Dad said I can't say the F-bomb. So it's like, it's just make, yeah, I think.
I mean, I imagine like to his friends and stuff, like it's like, you know, because, you know, my son's like, oh, like, you know, my dad podcasts and stuff. Like, they think it's the coolest thing. Probably for you, like, they got to think, oh, your dad's a streamer? Like, that's probably going to be,
I mean,
like, he's the cool dad.
Yeah, well, I worry that, you know, that they go online and watch my videos. But he definitely, I think, he understands, you know, that I have, I guess, quote-unquote fans. You know, like, we went to the car show on Sunday, and he's like, wow, these guys, they really love you.
Yeah.
Like, my 12-year-old, I was like, you guys really love you.
Because you're just dad to him.
Yeah, because I'm his dad, you know? Yeah, yeah. So, like, he sees, you're like, wow, you know, like, because I had a guy one time, he came to the car show, and he's like, I drove 2 hours to meet you.
Yeah.
And my son's standing there, he's like, what?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, why would they drive 2 hours to see my dad, you know? So he's very aware of it, and he thinks it's funny, and now it's even funnier because, like, you know, he's on the stream and stuff, and people are, like, at the car show, like, Landon, you know, they're like, your dad's a legend, you know?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
For me, it's amazing, but it's also cool. Now he's, like, people come up to him, like, oh, man, like, you're killing it, Landon, you're an awesome trader. So now he's getting kind of the fans, you know, that are kind of noticing him and seeing it. So
yeah,
it's cool, and, I mean, he definitely... he's picking up on all of it.
Yeah, that's cool, man. That's awesome, man. I can hear you, man. Being a parent is just like it's an awesome, like awesome experience.
It's it definitely motivates you. I mean, I first had kids when I was a kid. And I was a kid. I was in my early 20s, you know, when he was born. So it's like I had to step up. Really, I had to get to work. I had to figure out what I was going to do to make a living.
Yeah.
You know, and how am I going to provide? How am I going to pay the bills?
Yeah.
That was the discussion. You know, when you're 20 years old, you had no responsibility. You're not as motivated.
For sure.
I grinded. When I was in my 20s, I would work 20 hours a day, filming, editing. I would go out and film all day. I'd go home, edit all night. I'd go to bed. I'd wake up and do it all over again. And I loved it. I almost love it. I almost miss it sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, I miss being broke, you know, sometimes. But I don't, but I do.
Yeah.
Because you're like, when your back's up against the wall, like, you're on it.
Sure.
You know, like, you want it a little bit more than when you're sitting comfortable.
Yeah.
I always think about that. I'm like, man, it's like, I might need to lose something real quick so I can get motivated.
That's funny, you know, because this is, you know, and I think this will be a good part to end on, because I wanted to ask you this, like, is there like a part of like, you know, you get to a certain like maybe net wealth, or you know, you got the cars, you got the boat captain, like, how much, like, does it get to a point where it's like, okay, yeah, these things are nice, but then there's no more fulfillment, or like, you know, and you're talking about sometimes maybe going back to broke, like, what do you think for that, from just like maybe like a fulfillment, like, standpoint?
Well, I think the best example of that is the guy who started Minecraft, right? He starts Minecraft, he sells Minecraft to Microsoft for billions of dollars, right? He's got billions of dollars. And he even said, he's like, I'm not happy, because I miss being broke, sitting in a room with four other dudes coding and building a world, right? They built Minecraft. They built a world for thousands and thousands of people to go and explore. So all of a sudden, now you have $1 billion, but what's your purpose anymore? Like, what do you wake up in the morning for? So, like, I try to not look at, like, how much money I have. I try to look at, like, kind of like, what experience do I want to get next? Like, I would love to get to a point where I can have enough money that I can buy a big enough boat and I can, like, do different trips. So I'm not really like, it's not like, oh, I need to make $5 million. It's more like, I want to make enough money that I can afford to buy an 80-foot sport fish and go to Costa Rica and fish down there for 6 months and live that life. So that's always been my kind of like mantra, to not focus on the money, but to focus on the experiences. Like, what am I going to be able to experience if I have the money?
Yeah.
You know, if I have the wealth, if I have the opportunity. I mean, that's also the thing. Like, if you work a normal job, like, you're not able to just go fishing for the day.
Yeah.
Gonna call, like, I have a friend of mine, he has a great job, he makes probably like $150,000 a year working in distribution for alcohol and stuff. He's got a great job, but he gets 2 weeks a year, like, vacation. Mm-hmm. I'm like, bro, I mean, 2 weeks? Like, well, I can't even, like, I take 2 weeks a month, you know, like, vacation. Like, well, how's that gonna work? So, that's the freedom, right? It's like having, it's never been about the money, it's been about the freedom. You know, if I have money, what can I do with it? How can I be free? What can I do for my son, you know? Like, how do I have an ability now to go to Hawaii for a month, take my son with me and go fishing for a month straight?
Yeah.
Like, how many dads can do that?
Yeah.
Less than 1% of the whole entire world that have opportunity to get on a plane, go to Hawaii for a month and just fish every day? Like,
for sure.
And that's just because I grinded it out, you know, in the beginning. When Landon was a baby and I was changing his diapers, wiping his butt, I had no money. Mm-hmm. I literally had no money. Like, there was points where I would just be like, well, you know, I hope there's a magical check coming in the mail, because rent's due and I got no money. And I have no idea how I'm going to get paid, but I'm going to figure it out. But it always worked out.
Yeah.
I always had, like, the really strong belief that every door that closes is just, like, another door opening.
Yeah.
It's just like, I've had so many times where I thought I'd have a deal with a company or whatever it was, and I'd be like, oh, this is the end, right? I'm going to have to go get a normal job. I'm going to have to, like, it ain't going to work out anymore. And then I'd get an email or I'd get a phone call. They're like, hey, you still filming? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, you want to do this? I'm like, right? You just, like, I remember I literally got fired from company, and the very next day I got a phone call from a guy that I hadn't talked to in years. He's like, hey, do you want to go to Portugal? I'm like, is this a real call? He's like, yeah. He's like, we need someone to go to Portugal tomorrow. I'm like, I'm in. And that was the day after I had, like, lost this, like, big client that I had, big job. So I laugh about it. I'm like, tell people, I'm like, hey, you know, if it's all going to be all right in the end, and if it's not, it ain't the end. So just
like,
keep on going, baby. I mean, the money is, it's not real, right? The cars, all that, it ain't real. I mean, your health and your family is everything. And as long as you got those two, I mean, the cool thing is, like, my son's 12, right? So even if I lost all this, I lost all the money, like, at the end of the day, all he wants is, like, me, right? He just wants to, like, hang out with me.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter if I have a Lambo. It doesn't matter what I have. He's going to be just stoked to, like, spend time with my dad, you know, his dad. And I, you know, same way kind of growing up. Like, you just want to spend time with your dad.
Yeah, exactly, right? How many rich kids hate their parents?
Yeah, because they never see their kid.
You know? Right, exactly.
Yeah.
I had this conversation. I appreciate your mindset behind all of that.
Yeah.
We had on years back, like when we first started the podcast, Bill Perkins, he's a hedge fund manager. He made a huge, on the Saudi Aramco, he made a ton of money. Like, and this guy's net worth, like, 600 mil, whatever. He's huge.
Yeah.
Poker player too, high stakes poker player. He'd play with all like the high stakes poker pros. So he, you know, he plays poker. But he wrote a book, great book for the audience out there if they want to go read it. Die with Zero.
Yep.
And so like the idea of like dying with zero money and like, you know, you have money for your kids, but like. But on like living experiences and while you're young enough to, you know, because people will like die with how much money and like for what?
I remember this exact moment. I told my girlfriend, her dad, me and her dad were driving. He was one of the stingiest people I've ever met in my life, right? Multimillionaire. But this motherfucker, he wouldn't even order a Coke at dinner because he's like, oh, you know, it's $4 for a Coke. You could buy a six pack for that much at the grocery store. I'm like, yeah, but you got like, who cares?
Yeah, you know?
But I told him because he was giving me shit because he says, like, Patrick, you need to save more. You need to save more. And I'm not like saying you shouldn't have money saved up, but at the same time, it's like, I think there's a very fine line that you got to figure out, like, when you're young, like, what do you have to lose?
Yeah.
Right? Like, go all in. Put all your money into whatever your passion is, whatever your dream is. Like, go all in on that.
Right.
Don't let anybody tell you not to do it. But also, I told him, I was like, look, when you die, where's all your money going to go?
Yeah.
It's going to go to your daughter. And where's all that money going to go? It's going to go to me. Mm-hmm. And guess what I'm going to do with it? I'm going to buy a Lambo. I'm going to buy a yacht. You know, like, I'm just going to blow it.
Yeah.
So, what, like, you think that you're leaving this, like, legacy. Well, all you're leaving is money for your daughter, for her husband, just a blow. That's what I would have done. You know, if I would have just matched, if he would have passed away and I got $100 million, like.
Wait, this is the current, not current
no,
girlfriend.
No, not current. Over. All but right, I'm just saying, like, you know, like he thinks like, oh, yeah, I'm saving all this money for my family. But it's just like. I mean, when you're dead,
I think it's an outdated way of thinking. Yeah. And that's why, like, when.
I told my son, I'm like, when I die, you ain't getting shit. I mean, whatever you got is what you going to get, you know? Yeah. I'm like, but, like, he's going to. What he'll have is a mindset that he'll never get anywhere else. Like, you know, I try to be very, like, stern with, like, mindset. You know, he's 12, and I'm like, what can you do today to be better, you know?
Yeah,
and I'm like, and I told him, like, if you start trading now, like, you don't have to go crazy about it and get addicted, but, like, imagine. Starting out trading when you're, you know, 12.
Yeah, yeah.
And now you know, by the time you're 20, you have a very good understanding of how the market works.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can look at money differently, you know, like.
I think they should even, these are things they should teach more in school.
No, they'll never do it. They'll never do it.
And even, like, there's a great book, too. The Greatest Bluff, I could be getting it wrong. Anyway, a writer went under, she's a writer, but she went under, like, the experiment of trying to become a professional poker player.
Yeah.
Maria Sharapova, I could be getting it wrong, but great book, and that was one of her conclusions coming away. Is like, we should teach kids poker in school because of, like, the critical
money
thinking, the risk management, strategical thinking, like how to analyze, like, expected value, like these type of concepts. But
you know, well, see, the problem, though, it all goes back to a very simple idea. Like, who comes up with the curriculum? Broke people. Broke mindset people. People that have, not to get all political, but, like, you have people that their idea is, like, hey, nobody should have more than anyone else. I'm like, well, that's life, right? Like, since the caveman
there was
a caveman that had five fucking coconuts and another one only had one. And, like, you know, that caveman probably, he's bigger and stronger. He fought for those five coconuts.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I think the government, the school system, they're teaching that everyone, you know, everyone's smart. Everyone should be successful. Everyone's important.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you're just setting kids up for failure. Minute they get out of school, they're like, they come in the real world. They're like, okay, hi, where's my participation award? It's like, there is no participation award. You either deliver or you don't. Like, you don't just get paid to show up anymore.
Yeah. It doesn't work like that way in nature. That's why I was like, you just look to nature. Like, that's not how things work. My sister works for the school board down here in Broward.
Yeah.
And, God, I mean, the thing she tells me, like, what they discuss and what they want to do for the curriculum,
there is not one actual thing that I learned in school that I apply today. I mean, I took geometry, algebra, you know. Back in the day, I was like, why do I need to learn this? Like, because you won't always have a calculator. I'm like,
yeah.
I have an iPhone that literally has every piece of information in the world on it. So that's where, like you said, the critical thinking, actual skills, learning, like, how to manage your money. What is credit cards? What are taxes?
Yeah.
Why do kids not learn about taxes?
Yeah.
Credit cards. Like, I remember you get out of school, you get out of high school, and it's like, first thing, you're 18 years old, first thing you do, you get a credit card. Right? You're all excited. You're like, I got a credit card. I can just get all the money I want. And then you spend all the money, you're like, wait, I got to pay this back and within 30 days, or I have to pay interest? Like, I have no idea. No one teaches you that.
Yeah.
Why is that not taught in school?
Not to get down this rabbit hole, but like one, I do. I feel like it's on me to have to educate my son.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I. Why did it take for me to get out of school to realize that I actually like learning? I like reading. And like that's
because you were learning the wrong way.
Well, and the stuff I'm reading, I'm
you
like,
were told what to learn.
I was
the whole
actually
time.
Never even taught this stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Like about you know it was shout out to Barry again, the cameraman. But I was talking to him about like the Lewis and Clark like expedition.
Yeah.
And like it's how fascinating it is, but they don't teach. They don't even teach it like that. I'm like, this is an incredible story.
Yeah. No.
And then they just memorize this date. I did this, but that's.
I mean, it's better to create you know Z-lots and create just NPCs. That just go to work every day, don't ask questions, don't wonder why, you know, why, you know?
Yeah.
Better. It's better to have a whole society of people who never question the norm.
Yeah.
Right? Where you talk to any successful person, and every single successful person, they question the norm, right?
Yeah.
They saw an issue with whatever industry, like, whatever it is. Like, I love the stories of people who are like, I know a guy, he has a porta-potty business, right? He's a multimillionaire from porta-potties, but, like, nobody would have been like, hey, bro, you know, porta potty business is good business.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you can make a shit ton of money.
Yeah.
Literally a shit ton.
Yeah.
But, like, that's what they don't teach you, right? They teach you, like, oh, you should be a doctor. You should be this. But it's like, you can be a welder and make six figures. You can own a, you know, repair shop. Like, there's so many ways to make money.
Yeah.
But, like, just trying to do it just the way that they want us to do it is not the way.
Like you said, like, NPCs. Teach someone how to fish, whatever. But, like, we teach the kids how to think.
Yeah, well, the schools teach you how to be reliant on the government. They teach you how to be reliant on someone to tell you what to do every day.
Right?
Like, getting out of school, the first thing you do is, what do? You get out of school, and you're like, you have no rules no more. You have nowhere to be, nothing to do. You have no first period, no second period.
Yeah.
And your life is now, you're confused. Same thing with, like, you know, people, they talk about trading. There's no rules. Right, so you have people that are very, very successful doctors, very successful lawyers, very successful at a lot of like making money. But when it comes to trading, they just cannot make money.
Because
there's no rules.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no structure.
Yeah.
There's no licenses.
Yeah.
It's like they get into it and they're like, well, I don't understand it. Because it's like, I think trading really is like the ultimate creativity.
Yeah.
And like, you really have to be creative.
Yeah, sure.
You have to see like a level and be like, kind of like looks like a painting. I'm like, I'm painting on the charts. Whereas if you just, people that are very analytical, people that are very just like set in their ways on following rules, they'll never make it trading.
You nailed it on the head. I've made that same observation. And even like going to poker, like you have a lot of people who are successful, successful in other well-respected fields.
They can be the
fields,
best brain surgeon in the world.
And they're the fish. You're the fish at
they're
the poker
get destroyed
table.
Poker.
And I've noticed, I've seen how many doctors are bad at trading.
Yeah.
And I don't know what, I think it also too, they come with an arrogance that
they think they're smart.
Yeah, right.
I don't think I'm smart. I think I'm dumb.
Exactly, that's the key,
right? I tell
people,
I'm retarded.
Yeah.
Right, people are like, oh, what makes you good at trading? I'm like, I'm literally just retarded. I have no idea what I'm doing. At the end of the day, all I know is that like the market goes up and down, and that's all I can do. Right? I can't predict where it's going to go. I can just look for opportunities and then I trade it. Where someone who's super analytical, someone who's like very data driven, they're like, well, I want to. They're like, they're just so caught up in like the math of it all.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, you talk to the best traders. The best traders are always the ones that just like they find a niche, they find an opportunity, they find their one setup. Then it works for them, whatever it is. It can be the most ass-backward idea ever. That you told someone, like, hey, bro, so this is what we're going to do every day. We're going to wait for this to happen. We're going to do this, and this is my setup. And you'd be like, that ain't going to work. And they're like, no, I make money every day. You're like, how? But it's like every person, like, sees the things differently.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's like when you look at a painting, everyone sees it a little differently. The same thing with trading. You put 20 people in a room and tell every single person to put a trade on the chart, and every single person will have a different trade.
Yeah, yeah.
Like some person will short, one person will get long, one person, they might not take a trade, you know? Like. That's the best part is like you like trading is
that's what I love about trading, especially compared to coming from poker, because poker it's like, I mean, especially now, the best like AIs, bots will beat humans now. But there's a fixed amount of variables in poker. Always 52 cards. You can bet, raise, folds. You have, you know, you can.
There is every single card, every single hand has exact numbers.
We solve it. You can poker solvable. Now it's hard for the human mind to keep track of all that, but we'll lose to
AI
and bots. But like the best players, like if you start deviating a little bit, like strategy wise, there's not much room for strategy style, or you're gonna get exploited. Where to your point with trading is why I love it and it's so fascinating. million different ways to
There's been
to
multiple
approach
studies
it.
At the end of the day that AI cannot trade.
Yeah.
It just can't. Because the AI, obviously, like, the people, like, you know, higher frequency trading and stuff like that. But, like, if you put an AI versus me and you said, all right, you make money.
Yeah.
The AI just cannot. It
the
looks at
the
numbers.
The top traders are still beating. Yeah.
I mean, because it's just, there's more to it, right? Mm-hmm. There's just more. It's not so data analytic. It's not, everything is not analytics.
Yeah.
Right? Sometimes the news comes out, it's bad news. And everyone's like, oh my God, the market's gonna crash.
Yeah.
But it goes up.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Because they don't think about the bigger picture. It's like, bad news makes the idea of the rates coming down, right? Like, the market wants the bad news because they want the rates to go down, you know, like vice versa. Oh, you know, the job report was low. It's like, yes, that's what we want.
Yeah.
We want the, you know, jobless report low. We want the interest rates to come down. So there's like, there's that bigger picture game.
Yeah.
And also, like, you gotta look at the president. I mean, at the end of the day, Trump is the president, right? What does Trump love more than anything? Trump loves Trump. What's good for Trump? The market going higher. You know, like, he literally tweeted, this is a good time to buy.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy. Like, the market went up 1,000 points, yeah. Like, an hour later.
Yeah.
He told everybody to buy.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, no, no way I would buy.
You
no
can't
way.
Convince the permabears. You're never going to convince them. It's a sickness. I'm totally convinced. If that bottle would, it wasn't so much money, I'd say, like, let's pop over in the Trump bottle. But he's got it. We were joking. He's got a Trump vodka bottle over there. He got gifted.
The finest ultra pure vodka in the world.
The finest.
It's
vodka.
Probably literally like Costco, like just bottles poured into it, to be honest.
Yeah.
Trump was like, we can just repackage it, put my name on it, we'll sell it for $1,000.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. So I mean, when it comes to books, I've never been like a big fan of books. It was funny. People always ask like, what book do you recommend for trading? And I'm like, well, I don't really recommend any books. But I created this little book, Funded Futures. It's on Amazon. You can actually download it for free on Amazon, on the Kindle. I think it's like 99 cents or whatever, but this is like $19.99. And it was really just kind of like, I just wanted to like put into words kind of like my whole like thought process on the market.
Yeah,
and
excellent.
Just kind of like, you know, we talk about mindset. We talk about, you know, just kind of what futures are. This is like a very like introductory book.
Yeah, okay, great.
I kind of like, I have a dream of like a bigger book in the future, but I was like, let me just get something out there.
Yeah.
Because I think this is like a book that I would give to anybody, you know?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I'll give it to you, actually.
But, okay, awesome.
You know, that's a book that is like, for someone who's just like getting into futures, who's interested in trading, they're really, it's an easy read. I mean, it's nothing crazy.
Right.
But that was the point. Like, I didn't want to make a 300-page book about trading because you would just be wasting your time anyway.
You need something digestible.
Yeah. Well, it's digestible. You're going to read it. And afterwards, you're going to be like, I've had people read it. And I'm like, oh, I really enjoyed it. And I'm like, well, it's kind of funny. I don't know about really enjoying just a bunch of stuff about trading, but.
Just 2 hours per day.
That's the goal. I mean, I pretty much stream every day 2 hours.
Yeah.
And then I'm out of here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the way I look at it is, if I'm going to make money, and if I can't make money in the first 2 hours, then I probably won't make money on the day. So
yeah,
it's good rule.
Yeah,
if I'm not in the green by 11 or 12, probably not a good sign. You know, like, I'm probably going to be red on the day. So it's good to just walk away. Because, you know, trading is the same thing. It's probably like poker. You know, when you play poker for 12 hours straight, you just get burnt out.
Dude,
you're burnt.
Dude,
like, no. you cannot be at your highest functioning mental ability 12 hours of doing something.
No, not if you're staying focused.
No, well, that's the people, they're trading. They're sitting there all day, and they're just locked in. And then it's always the same story. Patrick, I make money in the morning, but then I lose it in the afternoon. I'm like, okay, so stop trading.
And I haven't been as active lately, but the moves are better in the morning,
100%. That's when the volume happens. Yeah, you know, you're going to get days where it's trending higher or whatever it is. But, like, majority of the time, you're just wasting your time sitting there for 8 hours. This is not a full – I tell people, trading is not a full-time job. Why make it a full-time job?
Yeah, I like that.
Why trade for 9 hours a day when you don't have to?
I like that.
Hit it 2 hours, get out of there.
Because, you know, it's one of those things, too, and this is at times was hard for me to understand, is that, like, more hours doesn't always equal – more money.
No,
it's not like a normal job.
Yeah, no.
You know,
you don't get paid just for sitting there.
Yeah.
You get paid for not taking trades. Like, that's really the truth of it. Like, you make money trading by basically just not losing money, you know?
Because,
people, like, they're like, oh, man, you know, I made a bunch of money, but then I lost it all in the afternoon. I'm like, well, there you go.
Yeah.
You just gave me the answer to all your problems.
I've always thought of it this way, too. Like, is that, like, you're going to, like, even, like, the dumbest people are going to hit great trades.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Right? And so, to your point, it's about, like, minimizing the losses you're going to hit in, like, so, like, example, same thing with poker, right? Like, there'll be a day where you can't lose because you're getting all the cards in the deck. And it's about, like, minimizing the bad days.
Well, and, like, there's the days where you're like, I'm not getting any good cards, and I need to make sure I'm, you know, not going all in on pots.
I'm not going on tilt.
Yeah.
I'm not going on tilt, and it's like, okay, maybe I only lost a couple hundred instead of a couple
just
thousand.
Just staying alive.
Exactly, because then you look over the long run, the sample size, and, like, it's, you know, it's a long run game. It's not a day by day game looking in the long run, and then you're.
Yeah. I mean, how many poker players make $1 million in one day? Other, I mean, obviously, then like in a big tournament, but like, if you start out playing poker, like, you're not gonna get rich overnight.
No. It's a grind. A grind like
you're gonna lose
else.
Overnight. Yeah. You can lose your whole bankroll in one night, but you ain't gonna make your whole bankroll in one night.
Yeah.
Especially when you're starting out. That's my favorite. I love when people are like, "Yeah, I'm just starting out trading. I want to make a bunch of money." I'm like, "But what?"
Yeah.
I'd be like, if you were like, "Hey, I'm gonna go play in the PGA Tour," you're like, "Well, you're not gonna have any success." You're like, "No, man, I'm gonna do it." You're like, "Okay, good luck with that, bro."
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Don't work with that. And same thing with trading. You know, the best part is, the market ain't gonna stop you from losing, right? If you put $1 million into a bank account and you start trading. The market's not going to be like, hey, be careful now. Yeah. It's going to take your money. You know, same thing as if you go and play poker. They're not going to stop you from buying in, but they're going to take your money real quick.
Oh, yeah. So I like joking with the doctors, and we bring up the doctors, traders. I'm like, oh, yeah, like I'm sure you could teach me how to be a surgeon in a week, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, no, like there's a process. Yeah. There's a learning process.
Exactly.
Patrick, this has been awesome, man. Yeah, I really enjoyed the conversation, and thanks for having us.
Anytime, BDH, baby, we're here. Content machine.
Yep.